Welcome to our new micro podcast series, where authors answer four questions provided by the Journal of Neurophysiology's editor-in-chief, Professor Nina Ramirez. Hi, I'm Jamie Jones, your host, and I hope you enjoy this new series. Sit back, relax, and take a listen.
We have a multidisciplinary and international team of co-authors, including Tyler Danielson, a PhD student at Oklahoma State University, Dr. Layla Gould, a clinical assistant professor at the University of Saskatchewan, Dr. Jason DeFritis, a professor at Syracuse University, Dr. Rob McLennan, a postdoc at the University of Florida, Dr. Chelsea Ekstrand, an assistant professor at Lethbridge University, Dr. Ron Borowski, a professor at the University of Saskatchewan, Dr. Jonathan Farthing, a professor at the University of Saskatchewan and also a co-corresponding author, and myself, Dr. Justin Andrushko, an assistant professor and vice chancellor fellow at Northumbria University. Our motivation for this work is a shared interest amongst the co-authors to better understand the neural mechanisms of volitional force production in humans. Recent work has shown through invasive stimulation protocols that the reticulospinal tract contributes to force output and adapts to resistance training in monkeys. However, assessing this pathway in humans is a challenge. With our work, we were interested in essentially building on the prior research in monkeys through a non-invasive assessment using functional magnetic resonance imaging during different levels of volitional hand grip contractions. And in doing so, we were able to assess the brain activity without artificially exciting it via stimulation. We saw value in this approach as it allowed us to more naturalistically quantify the brain activity in the relevant brain regions without artificially exciting it with brain or nerve stimulation protocols. We observed an increase in the blood oxygen level dependent signal, or the BOLD signal, which is an indirect measure of neural activity, in the pontine reticular nuclei with increases in unilateral hand grip contractions. The reticular nuclei is a region that gives rise to the reticulospinal tract, so we believe this work supports the prior research that has invasively assessed the reticulospinal tract in monkeys, and essentially takes a step towards validating the notion that this pathway is modulated in humans with contraction force. In this study, we had 13 participants perform right hand grip contractions at 25%, 50%, and 75% of their maximum grip strength. These contractions were performed while getting brain scans in a 3 Tesla MRI. We used what we call a block design, where participants would repeatedly contract their hand for about 17 seconds, then rest for an additional 17 seconds, and repeat this process for the same target force 5 times during a single brain scan. We then performed 3 separate brain scans in a random order to capture the brain activity for each of the contraction forces. So that's 25, 50, and 75% of the max hand grip strength. Next, after standard pre-processing, we extracted the percent signal change from the pontine reticular nuclei using a brainstem ALICE, where the percent signal change represents the magnitude of the hemodynamic response, or the BOLD signal, change from the baseline, which is when the participants are not performing the contractions. So what are the next steps? I think the next steps are to replicate this work in a larger sample size, possibly with different muscle groups, given we know the reticulospinal tract has greater innervation to proximal muscles. Additionally, longitudinally tracking these changes in brain activity of this pathway and the structure of this pathway over the course of a resistance training intervention may also provide valuable information in how this pathway adapts in humans and contributes to strength training adaptations. Finally, two other, I think, very interesting areas to investigate are sex differences in the excitability and activity of this pathway and longitudinally how it changes and how that might differ between sex with resistance training interventions. And also tracking this and quantifying this in different age cohorts and longitudinally tracking it as individuals age would also be very valuable in understanding kind of the neurobiology of volitional force output in aging populations.
Thank you for listening. This podcast was brought to you by the Journal of Neurophysiology and produced by me, Jamie Jones. If you would like to hear our latest episodes, please visit the Journal of Neurophysiology's homepage.